first time in a long time. But it seems like just yesterday when we were side by side. Beast mode, no one's blocking our way. These other guys tried it, but them man ain't got the skills of Braden and Davey, brazen and raging, bringing you the thrills and spills. Right here in full gear, about to blow up like TNT. Us man are too sweet, Brady, DVP, the BD elite. Right here in full gear, about to blow up like TNT. Us man are too sweet, Brady, DVP, the BD elite.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for BD Elite. You found us on whatever podcast app you're listening to us on, or
twitch.tv/upnextpodcast and youtube.com/upnext. Hello, Twitch and YouTube room. How are we doing?
Yeah. Hey, maybe you're a podcast listener. You're in your car or on a nice walk. Podcast listeners are very nice. Give us a nice little review. Or maybe you're watching us on your mobile device, on your laptop, your computer. Maybe you're at home watching us. Maybe you like the video versions.
They're maybe you've got us on the big, like, 60-inch 8K TV.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm always weirded out when someone sends a picture of that and they're like, oh, I'm watching you. And it's like, geez.
It's like, whoa. If you only knew, I'm not wearing pants.
Yeah.
If you only knew.
Oh, they know. They know.
Or maybe you're like our friend Dickie Bird, who is sitting on our couch again. And instead, he has headphones on, watching John and Wei.
Yeah.
I'm awake this time.
He's awake, though. He's trying to stay awake. Yeah.
He listened through the whole show last night, trying to find the snores of himself, but I edited them out.
Well, I just got a notification that they just went live. So we beat them by like a minute today. So check us out.
Yeah, wow, we're beating them.
You're getting good at this.
Yeah. Well, welcome. Yeah, we are Braden and Davey. We're normally your NXT friends.
Friends.
We talked about NXT last night. It was kind of a dud episode because it was taped and there was some stuff that's progressing. And there's a pay-per-view coming up for Halloween Havoc, so we'll be definitely doing a show on that down the road. But we're here to talk about some Dynamite, the other side of some
wrestling. We are, a bit of AEW, some AEW news, a bit about the show.
Yeah, I feel like there's a – I'm trying to think of, like, you know, beyond the whole CM Punk elite stuff. What else has been going on, really?
WH celebrated a birthday today.
Happy birthday, WH Park.
Yep.
Yeah. I hung out with
65 years. You wouldn't believe it, would you?
He looks pretty good.
He looks good.
He looks good for his age, actually. Yeah. He should stop eating nachos, though. It's going to like slow him down.
Yeah, I don't know about his diet. We see daily what he eats, so I don't know how he's maintaining it.
Shout out WH Park.
Shout out WH.
We have a few birthdays this week. I believe it's our executive producer and host of Shot in the Dark, John Cena's birthday this week.
It is indeed.
And it's Dickie Bird's
birthday. And new Shot in the Dark dropped just today, so check that out on this very feed. 15 minutes or less, Cena takes you through everything you may have missed in wrestling in the last week.
Yeah, and I'll get the plugs right out the way. We have some great stuff coming out on our Patreon, especially if you haven't given us a shot yet on the Patreon. Hey, $5 a month, North American tier, October 1st. Sign up. You get the whole month of all the shows coming up, and you get access to everything in that back catalog. And we have another Was Next coming out, a retro NXT review, chatting about AEW's latest signee, Paige.
Yes.
Back in 2013 NXT.
Talking a bit about Paige. November 6th. 2013, I believe we were talking about. Main event by Cassius Ohno versus Luke Harper.
Yeah, Brody Lee. Mm. Shout out. And then it's spooky season.
Yeah.
So we have some spooky stuff planned for you guys. We are going to be doing a throwback Halloween Havoc 1997 review later this month in October. But I don't know if you've ever heard any time I've talked about spooky season on a podcast before. But there's a few spooky season movies that I watch year by year by year. And one of them is quite possibly one of my favorite movies ever. And this week, actually in 2 days, Disney Plus is releasing a sequel of Hocus Pocus. So we I don't know if it's laziness or just the sheer fact that we're going to watch it anyways. We might as well just
do it.
So we just recorded a review today that'll be out this weekend, covering Hocus Pocus, the original 1993 movie, Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, the other one. And next week, we're going to be chatting all about Hocus Pocus 2, which I'm very excited that will be on Disney Plus. So we'll love your feedback for that, guys.
Yeah, this is fun. It's a good way to kind of break into spooky season before we get all serious with some more sinister spooky things. Like we're going to be talking about the original The Omen.
One of the first scary
demon
devil.
Child films, one of my favorites. Really looking forward to that one. But yeah, easing in with some lighthearted Disney horror with Hocus Pocus.
And lots of scary movies coming out there on the schedule. And then another best match ever, where we're going to be joined by Karen Peterson, which I'm super excited. We've never really got the chance to really talk or do a show with her quite yet. So we're super excited about that. And she's hot off her column that I saw that New Japan posted today.
I know, that's pretty awesome.
So shout out, Karen. We love the post-wrestling community, and we can't wait to do a show. I think we're doing a Facebook poll, but I'm going to tell our up-nexperts to sway the poll heavily, because I want to do a best match ever, Io Shirai.
Well, I want to do a best match ever, Kairi Sane.
The people will speak, and the people will choose, and then we'll tell Karen.
and we need to cheer Karen up a bit, because she's just had to cancel her trip to London due to the awful weather going on right now, the hurricane.
Yeah, I hope everyone's all right, wherever you are listening. Hey, we're here to entertain you.
Bunch of storms right now, obviously, like, down in, like, Florida and stuff, but also...
I hear Halifax.
Halifax, like, Cape Breton, all really that area. Bad. Really bad right now.
Yeah, I hope everyone's all right there.
So, stay safe, guys.
Yeah, for sure. So go check out all those podcasts. The first of the month is a great time to check us out. If you haven't already, give us a shot. It's $5. That's the cost of a coffee. Not even. Yeah. So go check out hundreds of podcasts at your fingertips.
But one huge plug we need to do. We just got announced right minutes ago, just before we went on air, that the main, well, one of the main events for AEW Dynamite in Toronto on October 12th will be Chris Jericho defending his ROH title against Bryan Danielson. But I say one of the main events, because we know what the real main event of that day is the AEW Dynamite post-party Sneaky D's on College Street in Toronto. It's going to be wild. It's going to be wrestling-themed drinks. It's going to be wrestling fans. It's going to be wrestling prizes. And maybe the main event, the big one, it's wrestling karaoke.
Yeah, people are gonna definitely start putting dibs in for Judas, and I think we'll do a whole group sing along.
I think Judas probably has to be a group sing along.
See Edge being a popular
get
theme,
some Metalingus in there,
Maven's theme.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Even song wrestling themes that don't have lyrics, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll just sing along to the track, guys. Like it'll be fun.
I practiced this week. I did Wild Thing and I did My Way, Limp Bizkit, in an empty karaoke bar the other day with our boy Tom.
Because
we were like, no one's here. Let's just practice some wrestling themes. And it was pretty good.
No cover needed for this. No tickets. We'll be kicking off probably around 11 p.m. Just make your way over after the arena. Really, there's not a whole lot going on. We're two Torontonians here. If you're making the trip, there's not a great deal going on in that area.
Yeah.
College Street's where it's at. Sneaky D's is definitely where it's at. So come and party with us. Tell your friends. Bring everyone along. It's a big space. We want to party in style.
Yeah, especially for any Toronto fans or visiting for that show. I mean, it's a like 10-minute Uber or cab ride and like 15 minutes up Bathurst on the streetcar, which is right near the venue anyway. Yeah. So Sneaky D's, iconic Toronto location, and we're super stoked to
It'll be
this.
Open till 2, so you've got plenty of time.
Yeah, we'll be drinking till 2. We'll be partying and we'll find the afters hours.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we'll be all right. So come hang out with us. Follow our socials for all the details. But yeah, we want to hang out with you guys afterwards, after party for Dynamite. At Sneaky D's in Toronto on October the 12th. So can't wait. And hey, if you're a wrestler listening, come
along.
Hang out. Come hang out and sing some karaoke.
It's going to be a celebration of wrestling.
Yeah. I want a private party to show up.
Yeah.
I want them. We'll have a private party with private party.
I think security should just be like, nah. Sorry, guys.
Not let them in.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. Too many shots.
I want to do shots at private party. We're super excited about this. So look for that in the near future, especially if you're planning on coming to our neck of the woods in Toronto. So we're super excited about that. I think that's pretty much all the plug. I don't know what else we got to plug.
I think that's all the plugs. We'll have more news coming up about kind of pre-Dynamite.
Yeah, we're going to be hanging around the city. I mean, for anyone going to the Dynamite and Rampage, that's two different days. And we're going to be – we live not far from the venue, so – any listeners who are hanging around town that time, be sure to let us know, because we're looking to hang out and have some fun.
Absolutely.
For sure. It's Rampage, baby.
It is Rampage.
AEW Dynamite, kind of before we jump into that, I followed a few news stories this week that I think a lot of wrestling fans are following, and that's the tale of Mr. Black. Malachi Black, who is the internet tells me he's gone, he's jumping ship, he's taking a break, mental health, all this, maybe, possibly. And then now he's saying, no, I'm just taking a break. I'm coming back to AEW. I need a break for myself.
Yeah.
Which is totally
fair. Also, reports of Buddy Matthews potentially asking for his release, which has also been denied.
Mm-hmm. So they're saying that this is all like, we didn't ask for our release. We're just chilling, taking a break. Malachi Black has said it on one of his lives that he's like, no, that's all BS. I'm here. Okay. I'm coming back. Like, I'm just chilling right now. So that's pretty cool.
Which would explain why they've not kind of dropped the House of Black stuff.
Right.
Like, they're still Brody and Buddy, as of last week, were still billed as the House of Black with Julia Hart. But yeah, it is interesting. You can certainly sort of buy the rumors, and maybe if things have changed since I kind of believe maybe they did want out. But they're saying they're not, I guess. But
yeah.
I don't know. It feels like AEW definitely need to tighten up what's going on backstage, because it seems people may be a bit unhappy right now there. Obviously, there's the whole Punk situation which blew up. You had the Eddie and Sammy thing before. But yeah, you've had vague tweets from like the likes of Miro. You had
Andrade,
FTR, like Dax the other day, retweeting something where someone put out that FTR have had more shirts than matches on TV, stuff like that. It is odd. And I definitely think one of my criticisms of tonight's show is the outside talent keep using, like, both Juice and Bandido. Don't get me wrong, I love the main event, but you're using Juice Robinson in a match, you're using Bandido in a match, when you've got your likes of Miro, who hasn't had a match on TV in 3 months.
Andrade.
Who's perfectly healthy. Andrade, who just walks around backstage. FTR, who were the hottest thing just like 2 months ago and seem completely dropped. It seems maybe what? Tony just is afraid of having guys lose, so he just has them sit in catering. It's really bizarre, and it's starting to... This isn't the pandemic anymore. We don't need to give other wrestlers jobs as charity because nothing else is going on. We're out of that.
Yeah.
Like, we've got a roster. We've got a big roster of fucking talented people. Why are we bringing in CJ Parker?
Shout out the Moonchild Commune. Yeah. Real, if you know, the Moonchild. I do kind of agree with that, especially with a lot of the news where wrestling fans seem to be interested on all the, like, the backstage drama where the wrestlers don't seem unhappy. Specifically, a lot of fans will like speculate, well, it's the WWE people who jumped over now are like, ooh, do I want to jump back? And it's like, is some of that valid? Is some of that real? Where now, you know, like Malachi
Black.
Well,
we know there were like feelers gone out. We know about the contract tampering that was happening.
So then like, but then you have people like Bobby Fish, who I also want to talk about. Cause Bobby Fish, it seems like the whole world was saying Bobby Fish was pissed off at CM Punk, and he said some remarks, and then he was like, let go. He was gone from AEW before CM Punk, presser. He was already out the door because he had some choice words for CM Punk, and that seemed to be the reason.
I assume because it would have been a year ago that he started there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I assume that kind of it was a year contract, which they've just not. I don't think he was released.
Yes, exactly.
It was just his year expired, and they weren't going to,
so,
especially off the back of these Punk comments.
So he said some things, even though he was still under contract, which wasn't really great, but that would be totally overshadowed by CM Punk's presser anyway, so it doesn't matter. But then, I mean, Bobby Fish, he's part of the Undisputed Era, and that's probably the best spot he could have. Mm. By himself, he's definitely not a draw. So if any of these internet rumors of him being like, oh, hey, Kyle, Adam, let's get out of our contracts and go back to Papa Triple H. I've been texting him. Like, no, I don't feel like it would be like that. Mm. But the fact that Bobby Fish now shows up on Impact, what was it, a pay-per-view this past week he showed up on? I have no idea because no one watches Impact. Mm. And I won't listen to anyone say otherwise. He shows up thinking he's having his Adam Cole show up at All Out moment and comes out and basically calls CM Punk out, basically shits on AEW, and then here I'm in Impact now, to no ripple effect like whatsoever. And I find like maybe we're going to start to see more of, it's been 3 years of AEW. Mm. we're going to start seeing some of the other sides of business, right? When people always say WWE fired someone or they released people or there's drama or there's this and that. We're starting to see that now with this company. And that does make things a bit more interesting. You just said, like, there's other places where people can go. Like, I don't know if MLW actually exists, but some people say it does. So, like, wrestlers could go there. There's other, there's New Japan and all that stuff. But then you're having Juice Robinson come in and you're hearing Gato is backstage tonight and Tony and Gato are working on some stuff. It's like, can we not just focus on this show? Because I thought this show tonight, Dynamite, was one of my least favorite Dynamites that I've watched. I thought it was a 2-hour big waste of time that they did not promote really well and they did not execute really well. And I love AEW. I want them to succeed. We're talking about how we go to shows. You were at Dynamite last week. Go to all these shows. But this one was like a real test of where's Kenny and the Bucks? Were they the ones maybe making the show run pretty good?
The thing is, I think like you can still put on a good show without Kenny and the Bucks.
Of course.
But it's, I think Hangman for the longest time, I mean, he's your number one contender right now.
Yeah.
Still feels like a bit of an afterthought. Like we hadn't really seen him wrestle a great deal on TV in the last few months.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, Miro, FTR, Wardlow, your TNT, like the TNT championship, think back to when Cody was champion, when Darby was champion, how regularly that was defended and seen on TV. It feels like it barely is now.
Yeah.
Like sometimes on Rampage or Wardlow's in a tag match or a six-man match or stuff like that. It's, I feel there's definitely this fear of having some of his guys lose, guys who he sees as big stars and potential top stars, but isn't ready for them to beat like your Moxleys, but isn't ready for them to lose against your Moxleys.
So weird.
So end up you having all these guys just sitting on the shelf. A Brian Cage who has sat on the shelf for so long. I'm not saying Brian Cage should be your star, but he's a big guy who does some impressive looking stuff who should absolutely be featured on TV. I can see like casuals tuning in. You see a Brian Cage who's hitting his like moonsaults and his like Steiner screwdriver, the drill claw and all that. It's impressive. You go, fuck, who's that guy? Instead, we're just getting talent from outside coming in. We're getting nothing matches, random weird builds to things. It's you've had Malakai in the company for so long and he's not interacted with anyone really apart from Cody, which was his first feud. But you would think like you'd be drooling at the idea of, you know, Punk Malakai when that was possible, Kenny Malakai, Danielson Malakai, Hangman Malakai, like all these guys that you've gone, we don't really want to put you there yet.
So we'll bring in people from other companies to job for us.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Let's have you kill the Varsity Blondes for a while. It's starting to get frustrating. And I think during the pandemic, it was cool when you get one of these indie guys come in for a match. You go, that's pretty cool. But you also had all guns blazing on the other side, like with your stars and things. It's the storytelling's not been good.
No.
This whole year, if we're being honest. The build to Forbidden Door, like, I love the show. Don't get me wrong, the talent's there. Like, I feel like what we've been saying about WWE for years, you know, come to a pay-per-view, you've got good wrestlers. You know, like, have them go out and do the thing, they're going to be put on a good match. But the TV's starting to get weak and a bit directionless.
Yeah, it
and
feels
tonight
that way.
Didn't even have the killer matches to back it up. Although I did enjoy the main.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely agree. Like my interest is still on this show. I'll never not tune in on a Wednesday. But this one definitely was testing me, brother. This one was looking at the clock a few times on my imaginary wristwatch. But like, I still love this company, but it feels like they're lost. Going somewhere. There's such an easy way to have started this show with, first of all, the Acclaimed were the hot thing. Yeah. So you would have had them celebrate, but instead they're in a throwaway segment.
The Acclaimed are going to be forgotten about in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's already like
seen
over
that with every
it's
champion. Like, the story ends when your babyface wins the title.
It's done. You're
kidding. And you don't know how to tell that next chapter.
Yeah.
And it's especially at the time when WWE is getting a bit of interest. We talked a bunch about the Sami Zayn stuff yesterday. Like, it's starting to draw me back a bit.
Yeah.
It's a bad time to kind of have people lose.
They had 3-year window when Vince was running to take it over and they fucked it up. It's all over. AEW in the mud. It's over. No. Let's talk about this episode that we sound so mean about. But Hey, we're honest. First of all, rest in peace, Coolio.
Oh yeah.
He's now a gangster in paradise.
WH is in another paradise right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Isn't that a strip club in Toronto?
No. Oh, gotcha. Really? Gentlemen's Club.
Right. AEW Dynamite, Wednesday, September 28th from Philly here. We start off with the Jericho Appreciation Society and the Jericho Celebration because Chris Jericho is now the Ring of Honor World Champion. Hmm. I, for one, actually really love this idea because it gets so many wrestling nerds butthurt about, well, he's that's the point of him winning this title to do that. And it makes sense. Jericho brings some class to this title because he comes out with his whole gang in matching purple pants and purple jackets. And
I don't think I own any purple.
Not a very purpley. I have a few. Oh, Raptors gear. I have like jerseys and stuff. So Toronto definitely reps the purple. But I think he was doing it for Prince. I don't know.
He does like Prince.
He does love Prince. Yeah. Jericho comes out with the JAS all purple and his ROH championship. He's in the ring with all of them and Luigi Primo.
Just spinning pizza dough.
So while this whole excitement's going on, Luigi's just in the background spinning pizza, which they fucked up not having him on last week at Grand Slam.
Yeah.
All you needed him to do was ring the bell, him against Ethan Page. He does the pizza spot in the match, and Ethan Page murders him in 60 seconds, and it's over. But instead, he's here. But Jericho brings the fact up that he's got Luigi here because a good celebration needs some good pizza. And even though we're in Philly, we need some real pizza from New York, and says that none of you here tonight are getting pizza. So the crowd chants, "We want pizza." Anna Jay gets upset that the crowd want pizza and says, "You don't want pizza or I'll choke you out." She's really trying to get that "I'll choke you out" thing over. Jericho then says that he is now the most important Ring of Honor champion of all time, and all the other champions in the past mean nothing. And he calls himself the Ocho, which they now call him that. When he came out, they said the Ocho, Chris Jericho.
It's one of those things where it's sad because it's true, if you know what I mean. He's going the most viewed ROH champion. Well, he is. There's already this episode of Dynamite would have had more people watching than any ROH pay-per-view, any ROH TV show.
He is correct.
So he's technically correct. But then, as you kind of put him earlier, the nerds, the wrestling history buffs are going to be pissed because you're like, you're talking about Joe. You're
Nigel.
You're talking about Punk. You're talking about Danielson.
Yeah.
You're talking about all these other great ROH champions that brought honor to this sport.
And he's like, nah. And you and
Jericho.
Yeah,
I'm the most watched ever.
I'm already the most watched. Yeah, it's pretty funny. He then says that it's not Ring of Honor, it's Ring of Jericho. And then he says, however, he's got his crew with him. And then he points out Daniel Garcia, who is there, but looking a little sad.
Yeah.
Sad Danny here.
Sad Danny.
Red Death, Purple Death here in the purple pants. He then says, Garcia, you're a champion too, so I got you something. And he gives Garcia a box. And when Garcia opens it, it's a purple bucket hat. He says, yeah, put this on.
Not even a Kangol.
Not even a Kangol. It could have been a purple Kangol. Garcia basically says, like, I don't want this. And then beats the shit out of Luigi Primo here.
Just decks him.
Luigi lays in the same spot for the rest of the segment. He's just dead. It's great. Garcia says, I've had enough of Luigi. I've had enough of you. And Jericho, I think I need to talk to you because, Chris, I just don't know if this is working out. I think it's time that I... And Jericho says, you're not going to say what I think you're going to say, right? Don't you finish that sentence. When Danielson's music hits, he comes out, he picks up the hat, he laughs at it, and says, Garcia, why don't you come with us? You don't belong with Jericho. You belong with the Blackpool Combat Club. And if you join me, you don't have to do anything, I tell you. You don't have to listen to this guy. You can do whatever you want. And Jericho gets a little bit upset about this. And then Garcia says, well, I can do whatever I want. If I want to team up with Justin Roberts, I can. If I want to throw pizza, I can.
He's like mocking the entertainment aspect. Yeah. So he's like, guys, would you be entertained if I threw pizza on the floor?
Yeah.
Would you be sports entertained if I teamed with Justin Roberts?
What if I wake up Luigi and have a match with him, is what he says. And then Matt Menard gets in Danielson's face and says, I want to punch you so bad in the face. Danielson says, yeah, you want to punch me, huh? Well, actually, I just talked to Tony and says I could have a match with someone tonight, and I think I want a match with you, Daddy Magic. So that's made official, and then we kind of go into this opening match with Danielson and Matt Menard. But what did you think of this, like,
Danielson
promo?
Also throughout, he kind of topped Garcia with the entertainment thing by, would you be entertained if Daniel Garcia teamed with Bryan Danielson, which got the big yes chance.
Yeah.
And the match is announced as well.
Next week, you mean?
For next week. I enjoy, I think Jericho does these segments very well. I think back to the Inner Circle every week where we had a town hall or the state of the Inner Circle. And every time they were announced, I'd kind of groan and then they'd entertain me. I feel we've missed a step somewhere along the line before we get to a match between, like, Garcia and Jericho are facing off next week. And it feels this was kind of like, I don't know, it didn't have the impact it should have with Garcia leaving this group.
It should have been him saying something to Jericho, slapping Jericho.
I almost felt this week he should have gone, like, where Jericho was goading him and was like, basically, like, I own you, I tell you what to do, all that. He should be like, no, but also to Danielson, he should be like, no, I'm my own person. I don't need to be with you or with you. I think maybe he needs a bit of time on his own to reflect. I don't know. It just seems weird. It's like, oh, already we're getting
them
him
teaming.
Facing. And also it's like, well, you could do it. And then he turns on Danielson and he's with Jericho. But it's like, well, we just saw that with Jamie Hayter over and over again. I think we're good for him to just leave the group now.
Yeah,
it just seemed like it didn't really have the impact it should have.
Yeah, there was supposed to be like a crescendo there.
Yeah.
Like a part of the angle where
the
he does turn.
The Friendship kind of moment.
Why is my name on this list? It needed to be like
exactly.
that. Yeah, it did need like a actual like turn of him cementing that. But
the bucket hat thing just kind of died.
Didn't hit as well. It's definitely like Cobra Kai where the two JoJos are fighting over which thing he should be in. But I still was into this segment. And then I was a little disinterested. You know, no disrespect to Daddy Magic. I do think he's amazing. But after all that, to go like, here's a match that will last like 5 minutes and then we're going to go into another talking segment. It just felt like not normal for AEW.
And you know, as like, I really enjoyed 2.0, but you know you're not getting a like quote-unquote banger between Matt Menard and Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, again, he's great. Don't get me wrong.
He's really good. But you know the position he is a full guy. It's not like it's going to be a Sammy or Garcia against Danielson where you're going to have something like, could be quite special.
Yeah.
You know, he's just the full guy who's going to tap.
Yeah, I felt weird ways about this opening segment. Like, part of me really liked it because I do like Jericho appreciation stuff. It has been pretty funny and getting the heat there. But I do think there's a step missing with the Garcia. Like, it needs to be a complete turn if you're going to do it. You're doing the diamond mine thing. You keep putting your toes in the water to see if it's hot or cold. And then by the time you jump in, it might be too late.
Yeah.
It might be really cold.
Even just like the classic wrestling sort of trope of ripping off his purple and he's got a BCC shirt underneath. It's
done.
Like, no, I've made my decision, Chris. Yeah. Boom. Big reaction. But you left it with a hint that maybe Garcia and Bryan will team down the line, and then you just get a graphic later in the show.
Next week.
Oh, no, he's facing the guys that he's been teaming with for the last 6 months.
Yeah, really weird.
Next week.
Really, really, really odd. I still enjoyed the segment, but it did leave me kind of scratching my head a bit, because I do like everyone involved. And that match does sound good, but maybe the story will progress next week with that. We go to the match, though, Danielson versus Daddy Magic. We have Danielson putting the boots to him for a while. We go to P&P. It's Daddy Magic who finally gains some control. It's his partner. What's his name? Jeff?
Angelo Parker. He was Jeff,
right? Or is that his real name? I don't know. Angelo Parker keeps getting involved on the outside and eventually hits Danielson with a DDT when the ref doesn't see. That's when Claudio comes out, who, again, like, Jericho's just been shitting on Ring of Honor. He just won the title. Danielson comes out by himself. Where was Claudio? Claudio couldn't have backed him up? He would be
really
pissed.
Yeah, really, Claudio would have had more beef than...
Yeah. You cheated to beat me.
Danielson cares more about whether Garcia. This kid is in his team or their team than you do about being screwed over your only ever world championship.
Yeah, continuity errors all littered through this show. So Cesaro picks up Parker and then runs off.
Manhandles him. That was pretty entertaining, him just carrying him off.
There's the Busaiko knee and then the LaBelle lock, and Danielson gets the win here on Daddy Magic. But,
was a cross arm break, right? Sorry. Was it not?
No, that was
in Moxley.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this was fine. I didn't really think much of the match. I love Danielson. I enjoy Matt Menard, but as a like compelling, hot opening match for this show, it didn't really deliver.
I didn't think so. It got the job done with him getting the win, but like, yeah, yeah. We go to a recap of MJF and Wheeler Yuta last week when MJF shoved Tony Schiavone. And out comes...
We did get a Juice Robinson package here.
Oh, which okay,
I thought,
got you.
Even though I disagree with him even just being on the show, I thought they made a good job of explaining why this is a thing and putting over the fact that in the last year where Mox has been pretty much unbeatable, he's got two pins over him. And it showed the footage from New Japan.
Right.
So I did appreciate that, even though I don't really think this match should have happened.
No, it didn't help add any insight to it. It didn't make me excited. MJF was supposed to come out, but Wheeler Yuta runs out first and says, no, Max, you're not going to run your mouth. I'm coming out here to talk. Wheeler Yuta in some green Misawa gear here in his hometown of Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says that he's here. He doesn't want to talk. Max, I want to fight. So, Max, I don't care. You're a coward. Last week, all those things you said, I heard you. But you put your hands on Tony Schiavone. So, I'm going to get some revenge for him. I'm going to get some payback when MJF comes out wearing a Mets jersey in Philly, getting some boos here. He calls Tony Schiavone a fat old prick. And this pisses off Yuta and says, you're just a coward, Max. You're a coward. You're a loser. Come fight me. And Max says, look, you're from Philly. I get it. But Philly's the place you live in when you can't afford to live in New York, which got a lot of boos here. Max says, don't worry, Yuta. I know you're a good wrestler. You're one of the best wrestlers on the planet. And I know this because me and you came up together in the independents. We fought quite a bit. I know you're good. But after last week, I am your daddy because I laid you out. And you stepped out of line, so Daddy had to spank you last week. He says, you're talking to the biggest draw in AEW history when the crowd chants, shut the fuck up, which they tried to censor, but seemed like it was kind of hard for them. He then says he's better than Joe Frazier present day. And by the way, Joe Frazier's dead. And then says...
he said Joe Frazier has more charisma than you, and he's dead.
Oh, geez. He then says, just like the Phillies are dead in the water. Referencing the sports team, even though Yuta did say, don't reference sports teams. And he did. He says, I make more money than anyone in this bum town. I'm a multimillionaire at 26. And Yuta says, I told you I don't want to talk anymore. I just want to fight. And since you won't shut up, I'm just going to come fight you. So he leaves the ring to go fight him. But the ass boys stand beside MJF now. They show up. And MJF says, I don't do brawls, so go hang out with your Blackpool cuckold club, sayonara. And he says that this crowd doesn't even deserve his catchphrase, but the ass boys will say it for him. And they say, he's better than you and you know it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is really the first time we've heard Yuta kind of cut any sort of promo. And I thought...
At least in this capacity, yeah.
Yeah, like we... In ring, on mic, we've heard him maybe backstage, but this was his first like big promo, I felt. And I thought he somewhat delivered. He delivered on the intensity and the passion. And there were like some Yuta chants and things. The problem is you're up against a really hot MJF right now. And realistically, I don't think there's many people who's going to get cheered over MJF right
now. Yeah, it's a tough spot for him.
But also, by all accounts, these two have had fantastic matches on the indies. This is going to be MJF's first match back, right?
Yeah.
So I think the match is actually going to be really good. So I'm quite looking forward to it. It allows Wheeler to kind of sort of practice this promo stuff. I thought MJF was a little phoned in this week. I thought the lines were all a little easy, you know, calling Tony fat.
This feud is a softball. Like, I think you should have just done the match tonight. I think that would have got the heat back on Yuta, because if you had a really good match tonight, the crowd who were 50-50 on Wheeler Yuta, they were way more into MJF when he came out. But if you did the match and Yuta comes up short, the crowd is going to be like so behind him again, as he has been in other cities, and still get the heat.
The Philly, this Philly crowd will like...
You would have appreciated him. I agree. And like, AEW doesn't always have their guys lose in their hometown, but it would have made sense.
You already shot an angle last week.
You already did the angle last week. This was a pit stop for no reason.
Yeah.
So
they've got a long way before this.
Yeah.
Because they're teasing the chip cash-in in Cincinnati.
Right.
Right? When, which is Mox's hometown where he's facing Hangman.
Okay.
That's what they're teasing. That's like a few weeks away. So yeah. They're just trying to stretch this thing out. I am looking forward to the match. I think...
Don't get me wrong. The match
I think the
good.
Match will be really good.
Yeah.
And I didn't think this was a bad segment. I just think maybe placement right after a heavy talking opening, not much of a match in between, and then more talking. I was kind of, all right, when are we getting the banner?
Fight. Yeah.
You know? But yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, I would have preferred them do, because Tony Khan is talking about how, you know, during the day on Wednesdays, they're filming all this stuff. He's putting tweets out that like sets up the story for the match that he's now scheduled. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that when I think you could have done that for this, no problem. You could have showed him shoving Tony, Schiavone's mad. TK's mad that he shoved him. Wheeler Yuta tried to step in. TK should just go, nah, MJF, your first match back in Philly, Yuta's hometown.
Just an earlier today.
I think that would have elevated this show to a whole other level, and they definitely fumbled the bag there, I thought, on that one. I think the match would be really good next week, but this was just a stop extra for this when he already slapped you last week. He already beat you up last week. Wouldn't you just want the match now? We go to a video for Darby Allin and Jay Lethal. Apparently they're feuding now.
What's this, Rampage?
Rampage,
is this
baby.
Next week?
Or is this next week?
This might
I don't
be next
know.
Week.
Who cares? No, I'm done with Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt. Sorry, guys. I loved you back in the day. Definitely over this pantomime Batman villain shit with the pencil.
Again, where's Miro? Fuck.
Where the fuck is half this roster?
Oh,
why are
boy,
we
why
fucking
am I
Jay Lethal?
Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh every
fuck.
Week.
I'd rather watch Darby Allin fall out of a window or something. I don't care.
Yeah.
Again, Lethal, Sanjay, loved you guys back in the day, but this ain't back in the day anymore. We go to, I guess Jay Lethal's got to fight Chris Jericho soon.
We'll
get to
so,
that
yeah.
down the line with his ROH stuff. We go to world champion John Moxley facing a guy no one knows from New Japan Pro Wrestling, who may or may not be with New Japan Pro Wrestling right now, because before this show went on the air, there was people online saying Juice, he put out a tweet saying he's no longer with New Japan.
Okay.
But some people are saying he does this kind of
thing. Yeah, is this a character though? Because he's like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Juice comes out to a huge ovation in Philly. Is not what happened, actually. No one made a noise. You could hear the crickets outside the venue. Sorry, Juice. He comes out. If you're not familiar, he is in the Bullet Club. So he's wearing some jeans with the Bullet Club logo on it. Moxley comes through the crowd for his entrance, and Juice attacks him, which starts this match off. We get Mox kind of... returning the favor, punching Juice back, dusty punches from Juice. Juice and when Juice Robinson was CJ Parker back in NXT, he was really close with Dusty, so he does the dusty punch as part of his big thing here. William Regal is on commentary.
Got that left hand of God and all that.
Yeah, William Regal is on commentary because Blackpool Combat Club, and mentions that he also was like with Juice for a long time. Like he knows.
Oh,
how good
he
Juice
was
is.
In NXT for
exactly,
a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So we get Moxley coming back with this huge King Kong lariat as we go to picture-in-picture. There's a cannonball on the outside into Mox, and you can just point as clear as day where he's just blading while getting beat up by... he just had to bleed in this match, of course. He's bleeding. There's another cannonball from Juice here, and then Juice just starts to bite the wound of Mox, and then... Somehow, I think Juice is bleeding at the same time. He goes for a cannonball off the apron and lands on the chair as Mox get out of the way. In the ring, Juice hits a powerbomb for a near fall. He hits the Pulp Friction, the kill switch, essentially, and Mox kicks out of that.
Which is his finish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mox kicks out of it, and then Mox just beats him up. He does the Blackpool Combat Club stomps to the head, and then a cross arm breaker, and I've never seen someone tap out so fast, because he could not handle this arm breaker. So Mox,
which I like. I wish more submissions were the instant tap. It makes it seem deadly.
Yeah. Menard tapped really quick earlier in the night as well. But Mox beats Juice in, I think, a match we all saw coming.
Like, it was fine. It wasn't bad. It's where I've always been with Juice for quite a while. I don't think he's a bad wrestler at all. I'm just his matches are very kind of, you know, 3-star to me. They're very like serviceable.
Yeah.
And especially this, there was absolutely no way in hell Juice is beating Mox. So I go in going, oh, I know. Whereas some other people on the roster, as an eliminator, maybe they do a surprise win to set up a title match. But you've already set up Hangman. You've already set up MJF.
Yeah.
Zero stakes. Mox bleeding again for no reason. Yeah.
Look, I kind of agree with you because we do retro NXT reviews, and right now we're in 2013 of NXT, and CJ Parker is not popular. He's getting booed even though he's a heel. He's another babyface. He eventually turns heel. I always loved his promo. I eventually thought that he would be a bigger deal. I thought him leaving...
He did level up.
Yeah,
he did. He certainly leveled up in New Japan.
Yeah. I just feel like he's still at the same spot he was all these years ago, yeah. And they've tried so many coats of paint now with the Bullet Club and stuff. He should have joined the Bullet Club like fucking 5 years ago.
I think he was in that tag team. He was in that US title picture for way too long.
Like, you know how wrestling goes. Once you get that stink, the fans treat you that way. They smell you that way. So I think it's just too far gone for me. Cause I know Juice deep down, he's got some great promos in him. He's got some good matches. Yeah. The care factor was not here. Just to go, hey, tonight we're getting Juice Robinson versus Mox. It's not the most exciting thing. Like we've mentioned, they have a really deep roster here actually, and they're not utilizing that. And instead, bringing in, I don't know, Gato's boy who may not be with New Japan with the whole gimmick. I just don't care. It's just very cold. Hangman comes out. He goes face to face with Jon Moxley. They mentioned that Hangman won that battle royal, and therefore he gets a shot at Jon Moxley and the title. I like this. The stare down between two, AEW original here, and MJF is in his box watching this and goes, whoa, and interrupts and says, settle down, boys. Like, doesn't matter. You guys are fighting over nothing because I'm walking out Cincinnati as champion when Wheeler Yuta shows up behind him in the box and starts beating him up. And MJF said he didn't want to brawl tonight, but that's what happened.
This did get a good reaction for Yuta as well. The Philly crowd were into this.
So he's fighting, beating up MJF in his box. And then it cuts to Hangman and Mox just still staring
at each other. Still Tanahashi Mox all over
again. Staring at each other.
I obviously was at Dynamite last week, so didn't hear commentary. And I know, I think Tony or was it MJF said in an interview that this could be cashed in. But this was the first time I've heard it mentioned on TV that this chip is kind of a money in the bank thing that can be cashed in at any moment.
I assume so, because the first time he talked, he said that. After he won the Dynamite we were at, he in Buffalo, he said that. I can cash this in whenever I want. So there you go. You set it up there.
Yeah, but I don't know. I even took as that. It's like, I can call my shot that I can have my match next week or this. Yeah. Whereas I think that the way they've worded it is very clear now that, he's waiting for Mox to be incapacitated from a match to cash in. Do you see that happening in Cincinnati?
So that's in a few weeks on a Dynamite.
So that's Mox's hometown. That's the week after Toronto.
Yeah. It's interesting because you could definitely drag out the MJF going for the title for a long time. If you give the title to MJF, which is great, it will happen eventually. He is a huge star here, I think, and he's fantastic. But then who's the one on the chase to him? Danielson? He's tied up right now. So it's like Hangman. There's a few other options you could go. Honestly, Mox's champ is great. Danielson is champ is great. MJF is champ is great. Cool. Let's just figure out the story and go with that. But MJF seems tied up with Wheeler Yuta. Fine. But Mox and Hangman should put on a pretty sweet match on that show.
I do see the title change at
You see MJF taking it.
I think cashing in. I think it's that heel heat. Do it in Mox's home crowd where he's the hottest, and then Mox can go fishing.
Because the cash in also could also not be a cash in, because he can just show up after Mox retains and goes, I want this now, and Mox goes, all right, fine, and then agrees to it, and then like the firm come out and do something, or you know, something like that. But all right, so you're predicting MJF.
Yeah, I mean that's the match, like Hangman and Mox will beat the shit out of each other. So more so than Juice and Mox. So
yeah. Damn. Poor Hangman.
Yeah.
Where's Hangman just floating around getting this shot? But like after that, yeah, we'll see. We go to our next segment, which is the first time we get to hear.
I mean, sorry, but like if Hangman potentially has Mox beat.
Yeah.
And kind of does the Seth, like turning it into a triple threat thing. That could be a way that Hangman was going to beat Mox for the title. That way you've already got a rematch with Mox down the line set up.
Yeah, book that.
And you can have Hangman chase MJF.
That's exactly how you
I think
book
that's
that.
What you do.
Yeah, that's exactly how
Tony,
you
Tony, you're listening?
Yeah. He must be a big fan of WrestleMania 31.
Good WrestleMania.
Yeah, and you know Mox loves his Seth, so doing the stomp last week and stuff. So, yeah, that would be the best route, where they wrestle for like 20 minutes, killing each other. And then when they're both down, MJF goes, you know what, actually, I want to cash this in now.
Yeah.
And I would have done, I think I may have said this on a show, I would have done, after the whole CM Punk presser, where Tony Khan looked like a complete bitch, not doing anything, I think you could also, you could almost have MJF come out and go, I'm cashing this in, and commentary like, whoa, that's not how this works. And TK comes out and goes, yeah, you know what? We need to shake things up. I'm letting you do this.
Or because you're right, because this hasn't ever been established with this chip before. It's always been set up for, I think it's been for a TNT title shot before, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's been for other, like, Fight for the Fallen or whatever. It should have been part of this renegotiation for MJF.
Exactly.
Where in my contract it states, if I win this thing, I can cash in at any moment.
That's exactly it. Get the heat on TK. I don't care.
Yeah.
Just, like, heel TK.
Yeah.
Mr. Khan is the character he'll be working on. Like Mr. McMahon back all right, we go to Saraya. Is that how you say her
Saraya,
name? Saraya.
Yes.
Saraya. Say her name right. She makes it very clear. Mm. She wants us all to make sure they're not calling her Saraya. So Saraya,
Saraya
is the name. She comes out in the ring. She's with Tony Schiavone, I think. And she says that she is the revolution. It wasn't all about that old revolution. I was that revolution. I am that revolution. And she says she's a little nervous. She hasn't done this in a while, but she's excited to be here in AEW and then wants to bring a change to this women's division. I was just getting flashbacks, deja vu of Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie McMahon? Out comes some babyface women wrestlers on the roster here, meaning the champ, Toni Storm, Athena, Sky Blue.
Sky Blue, Willow Nightingale.
Willow Nightingale, Madison Rayne.
And Madison Rayne, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Jeez.
The Revolution. She then says that these are like the future and the stars here.
Madison Rayne, the future of women's wrestling.
Out comes Britt Baker with her group of baddies here. She's got herself, Rebel, Jamie, Penelope wearing a lot of makeup, like goth makeup. Mm. I guess that's her new gimmick. Britt says, you know, Saraya, you're here for already and you're annoying me. She says that, you know, I had a weak neck, but it's stronger than yours. Mentioning,
she says she's carried the whole division on her neck, which Saraya will never be able to do because her neck is just
weak.
Damaged.
It's weak, and says that you know, you suck and you shouldn't be here.
Britt does a lot of using in her promos stuff that the internet have been saying.
Yeah.
So here, basically calling Saraya, she calls her the shiny new toy, which is very much what internet say about these new sites. Like Athena was a shiny new toy. Ruby Soho was a shiny new toy. And
except they were clear to
the
wrestle.
The thing is, when Britt does it, a lot of the time it's like the sandbagging thing. It's like you're bringing attention to something that is genuinely a negative, like a bad criticism of the company.
I will say, to even add to that, she also made a comment about people being problematic or something like that.
Mm.
And like, people have been fishing out stuff on Paige and the singer of her theme song and stuff. So, like, it was kind of too on the nose for her to maybe mention that, I think. I think that kind of hurts. This is a fake show. Mm. Chill. Why are you guys being so mean? Be mean in other ways.
Neckline, fine.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Make fun of her neck. But to say that is definitely, like, then that makes you go, wait, are wrestlers problematic? Should I be watching this show? Man, if you don't want to watch wrestling because you think wrestlers have different political or views on life, then you maybe wrestling is something you should look behind the scenes on. But it definitely wasn't cool to bring that to attention. Like you said, if you're bringing that to attention, that's a negative. All these other little things.
Yeah.
Just to kind of be the MJF here and get cheeky is not always the right kind of choice. Saraya says, you know, Britt, no wonder your name rhymes with shit. And great fucking burn from her. We get Jamie Hayter chance, and then out comes Serena Deeb, who's got a match with Toni Storm. And Saraya then like stops the music and goes, no, I'm not done talking, and says, I've may not been here, but I've been watching and I've been listening. And you guys here get up to some funky stuff. That's what she said. She says, well, I talked to TK backstage earlier, and finally a boss that can listen to me. as the crowd kind of chant. She says that we decided that this next match, the women's match, Serena and Tony, will now be a lumberjack match. Am I crazy or wrong to say that this was quite possibly my least favorite AEW segment in the history of this company?
I really did not like this.
I'm a Paige fan. I like Saraya. We've talked about her on all these other stuff. I know obviously she hasn't wrestled in a long time, but I think coming out and doing the Revolution gimmick Stephanie McMahon did with her and all that stuff, I think that was the real wrong way to...
It's difficult because by all accounts, she's not cleared yet.
Right.
By the way she talks, it sounds like she's optimistic she'll get there. Like there was a line about, like, I may be damaged, but I'm not finished or something.
Not broken.
Like, I'm not broken. So there were little lines that implied that, like, the expectation and the hope is she's what, signed to a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
At some point, hopefully within those 3 years, she can be cleared. The problem is, it's what do we do with her? And she's a good talker, Paige, Saraya. Yeah. What do we do with her? And unfortunately, it's they've given her what, essentially the manager of the women's division is kind of the vibe I was getting, which is really not interesting.
Not at all.
And yeah, I think
it's, I'm going to clean up.
It also made your women's champion. I thought Britt cutting her promo and then Serena's music hitting and Serena came out made Serena seem a bigger deal than Tony, who Saraya's like, come on down, girls, come on down. Yeah. And Tony's like, all right, I'll lead AEW Dark to the ring with
me.
It made I thought the baby faces all seem like
geeks.
Britt seemed like the star here. I brought this up last week. I don't know if there's any connection, like history between Hayter and Saraya. I don't think they cross paths, but you can make it up. They're both British.
Yeah, they're like, British.
Yeah. You know, it's, as you said earlier, it's make-believe. It's wrestling. You can do what you want. I think Paige coming in and kind of like to back up Jamie, have a babyface Jamie and Paige kind of in her corner would be more interesting to me than just what she's playing Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, it is exactly that. Sorry, I get it. The women's division has been, you know, not good. And every fan who watches the show, they're probably thinking, yeah, I'm not too high on that division because it's not good. Mm. And bringing in Saraya is great because she's paid. She's a big name. Fuck, they made a movie about her and she's still left. She's still like here. She's not wrestling though. So you're bringing her in to try to prop up these other people. Like, yo, Willow Nightingale is out there. Cool. She's great. She's, you know, she could be the future of this stuff. But doing it this way, you made all these people look like losers. You made everything. Hey, I'm coming in to fix this women's division, but also I'm not cleared to wrestle.
Yeah.
And also I'm being paid more than all of these people.
It very much felt like I bought the like hottest brand new PlayStation 5 game, but I've still got my PS4. You know, it's like, I don't know, I might be able to do something with it at some point.
No.
Like TK's like, Paige is available.
Yeah.
Better get Paige. Throw money at Paige. What are you going to do with her? Dunno.
She'll be the GM of the women's division.
She gets cleared eventually. And I think the line, like, it's, you kind of brought it up with the Bobby Fish. We've heard all the people who've left WWE and have their things to say.
Yeah.
It's, AEW's in a, like, weird time at the moment. There's all the backstage stuff going on. Meanwhile, WWE have been putting on a pretty good show and have a really good women's division. They've just inserted Candice LeRae on Monday in their women's division. You're setting up Bianca and Bayley, which sounds good. You're setting up a women's War Games match, which all the players involved in that seem pretty good. Like, there's a good feeling with the women's division in WWE. So having the dig at your old boss line.
Yeah. It's dated.
It is dated now. 2 years ago, fuck Vince. Yeah, you're wasted there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, let's try and fix what's also going on here.
Also,
first.
Girl, you were the champ. You were the champ. You got hurt.
Mm.
What did he do to stop you? You were the champ. You were the girl there. You got hurt. Mm. That's it. He didn't do shit. Sorry. I'm a fan. I wasn't there, but You're saying he didn't listen to me. Yeah, you're hurt.
Well, I think it's more she was pitching things she could be doing.
If she was trying to pitch shit like this, good thing she didn't get to do it. I really hated this segment. I love a lot of the wrestlers that were involved in it. Toni Storm has definitely grown on me. And hell, they throw to this next match, which, hey, how do we make a match not a lot of people are excited about anyways? Let's make it less exciting by making it a lumberjack match. Yeah. And she goes, I saw that there was never a women's lumberjack in AEW history before, so I thought it would be a good idea to do it now. No, sorry. If this role is GM, you should not be in this role. Do you not watch wrestling? It's not good.
I can only ever think of one good lumberjack.
It was when the best friends dressed up as lumberjacks.
That was fun. I can't remember who's involved, but one that always comes to mind is Seth versus Dean on, I think it was an Extreme Rules or a Raw.
Okay.
And it was actually genuinely very, very good.
Okay.
And I remember everyone going, man, a lumberjack match can be good.
Yeah.
One out of 1,000 matches, like, it's not enough.
I was a huge fan of Paige and everything she's done. I think she's awesome. But I'm here. Okay, why are you here? To make things really good. Okay, what are you going to do? A lumberjack match. Yeah. All right, what else are you going to do? I don't know. Not wrestle. Yeah. Get paid a lot more than everyone else who is wrestling. It's all sour for me, for sure. And I'm someone who, I'm never critical of ex-WWE people coming in. I it's wrestling. It's what it is, right?
You're a wrestler. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter where you matter where you wrestle. Like, the best wrestlers should be working on TV. On national
doesn't
TV.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. But this, finally, I got hit with, ooh, did we need this?
Yeah.
Did we need this? Come out at Queens. Cool. Come out here tonight and go, look, I'm not clear to wrestle right now, but I see what you guys are doing. Give Toni Storm the rub. Be like, Toni, she did try to give Toni the rub, but again, just felt like so patronizing to all these other wrestlers. Mm. Like, fuck all of you bitches, because I'm getting paid and I'm going to sit down and talk about you guys while you wrestle. Mm. I just felt it was really did the opposite. And you know what? Like, I feel like I'm getting so heated over something that really doesn't matter, but they've been trying real hard with this women's division. And I think they think this is the step forward when I think they just may have taken a step back. At least me as a fan watching this, I don't
disagree. It definitely, I watched this and Britt Baker was the star.
Yeah.
Jamie Hayter, clearly the crowd are behind her. Fucking go with her.
Yeah.
Go with her before we move on to something else. Because really, like the others, fucking Willow Nightingale, Sky Blue, Madison Rain, Penelope Ford, like, get zero reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like just shaking my head at this segment. Just really confusing. Disliked it so much. It was, I don't want to watch the show anymore. Heat. We go to the match though, which definitely perked me back up. Cause I'll give the respect to the two women who actually were advertised and worked here. Serena Deeb versus Toni Storm, women's interim championship match. We get a lot of back and forth, like technical countering, and then Toni eventually hits this really beautiful German suplex for a near fall. We have Willow and Hayter who start getting at it ringside. Oh, the lumberjacks are fighting. Do they run off and brawl? I assume setting up a rampage match or something. We have Serena who keeps doing a series of roll-ups on Toni, trying to get a near fall, and then puts her in the Serenity Lock, but eventually Toni slips out of that. There's then Toni hitting the running hip attack into the corner, always looks good, and then hits her with a Storm Zero, the sit-out pile driver, which looked crazy.
She just falls into it so quickly. Good. It looks great.
But Serena kicks out, which Toni is shooketh by. Serena eventually gets the Serenity Lock in again, but Toni gets out of it again. They're fighting up top, and Toni pulls it all out here with an Avalanche Storm Zero. So a pile driver off the top rope. The crowd, the biggest reaction this match got from this finish. 1-2-3, Toni retains. And yeah, the stuff before this match did this match no justice or no service. What did it was the two women who were scheduled in the match, who had nothing to do with Paige or any of these other geeks out there right now, and just let the wrestling matter, and it was good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Deeb. I've said it many times on the show. I think she's great. Toni is someone who's definitely grown on me since going to AEW. She's not been a favorite of mine. I've found her quite overrated in the past.
Yeah.
She clearly looks motivated in this company and has been pulling off some pretty good matches. I thought the finish was great. I love that Storm Zero. I love the Deeb has some great looking dragon screws, like leg whips.
Just
looks so like nasty. I enjoyed the match. There was zero lumberjack Like
they were fighting each other.
Apart from the Jamie pulling Tony out to get chased off, which is the only thing that you could have done anyway, because Jamie could have been at ringside anyway. There was more they could have done to make the Lumberjacks kind of feel excited. You normally see a dive on top of everyone or something. I don't know. They really didn't need to be there. And if you're booking a Lumberjack match, which I don't love, but if you're booking the Lumberjack match, fucking do something with the Lumberjacks.
Lumberjill match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just felt the whole Saraya thing, like it's supposed to bring attention to the women's division, but it did the opposite for me. I just like the wrestling, and the storyline going is Tony is interim champ, which is not a strong story anyways. Like, how long is this going to be a thing anyways? But I thought the match was pretty good.
It's only been interim about a month.
But I feel like if it's more than that, like, can we not just call her the champ? Is Thunder Rosa, do we have a time frame? Do we go back to that story? Like, I think bringing in someone who can't even wrestle to be your main star in the women's division is just not a good idea.
Bad idea.
Instantly makes Tony not look like a champ, look secondary. And where's Jade? Where's that division? They didn't bring them out.
No.
They didn't bring out Jade and go, Trina. Wow, look at
where's
this.
Where's Trina?
Where's Trina? Your favorite. We go to the Acclaimed.
Oh, you've had a hot babyface act win titles. Better stick them backstage and then on Rampage.
Fuck, man. They're really bad at handling their champs.
Yeah.
Every time a champ finally gets it, it's over. Next season. Move on. Show's over. Done. End of the movie. That's how they do it. And Acclaimed already. Like, what? Why? The Acclaimed are backstage. They say next week is National Scissoring Day. Or Scissoring Week, I think. They say that they have a contract for an open match on Rampage. When Keith Lee comes in, he's looking a little sad and somber. He says, Billy, if you didn't get involved, we may have still been tag team champs. So I'm a little.
Since you carried them to those titles.
You carried them to those titles and then walks off. And then Billy Gunn says, you know what? I got two words for him. Scissor me.
Which definitely was doing good. The DX thing right good. Before we're having the DX Raw. I kind of enjoyed.
So, hey, guys. The Acclaimed are going to have a title match on Rampage. But Keith Lee just told us doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, because we'll get part three.
Like, why couldn't you do that after that match? We're swerving him come out and go, you know what, Billy? You carried it. You fucking cheated.
Yeah.
Then you go, okay, cool. But now we just know that it's Butcher and the Blade and Private Party versus the Acclaimed.
Like, honestly, I feel you could have opened the show
with that match.
With the Acclaimed in the ring celebrating, and they're like, and we want to celebrate by doing an open challenge. And you have both teams come out, and they're like, all right, we're fighting champions, let's go. Keith Lee comes out afterwards and says,
after the match,
you may have beaten these jobbers, but last week you got carried.
Yeah, but instead, the hottest thing going in your company, who have the hottest merch, that just won the titles, let's put them backstage for 30 seconds. Mm. So
I
backwards.
I guess it's they are trying at the moment to like get people to stick around for Rampage. So I guess because they're so hot right now, it's stick around, you're going to see the Acclaimed.
National. How are you celebrating National Scissoring Week?
I'm going to fucking scissor everything I see.
Fucking scissor so fucking hard. We're going to scissor after this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm wearing my shirt.
You are wearing the scissor me shirt. You got me one.
Why aren't you wearing yours?
I didn't want to match you.
This guy ain't even on the fucking show.
No, this guy's missed.
He's working at a kennel somewhere, just saving.
Is he managing
saving
a target?
Dogs' lives, yeah.
Yeah, I like wrestlers that save dogs, okay? Yeah,
well, I like wrestlers who scissor and rap about it, all right?
I'm wearing a Kenny shirt, by the way, for any non-viewers of the stream. Andrade.
We've got to keep it a mystery. We've got to sell shirt these was he YouTubes wearing? And Twitch. We're like, oh, got to go back. Get those views up.
You know what shirt you do need? Any shirt from prowrestlingtees.com/upnext.
Yeah.
In the next few months, some of those shirts will no longer be available.
They'll be gone forever.
Now's your chance.
Get them now.
Get a piece of history. Yeah. Up Next merchandise. We go to another backstage segment. Remember Andrade? Mm-hmm. Remember him? Yeah, he's backstage with Jose. Jose's jacked, but you can't tell because he's wearing clothes.
He's been told he's not getting his release.
Butcher and the Blade and Private Party are arguing, and Andrade and Jose are like, stop it, and then they walk off with Butcher and the Blade. When it gets better, Matt Hardy shows up and says, come on, guys, we had a connection, and we should connect again, and you guys deserve better, and that's what eventually gives...
Well, Butcher and Blade and Andrade were mad that they hugged Matt last week.
Yeah,
that's
what
they're mad about. Yeah.
So it looks like Private Party will be joining back with Matt Hardy, the Hardy Party.
It did feel like this whole scene was everything that's been going on in AEW. This was Private Party in the role of Buddy Matthews and Malakai Black, with Andrade Butcher and the Blade being Tony Khan and Matt Hardy's old Triple H going, come on, guys.
Come on.
Rhea's here.
This is contract Zelina's tampering. Here.
Come on.
Contract come on. Tampering right here from Andrade and Matt Hardy. We get a Ricky Starks comes out. Ricky Starks comes out to face some guy. I think his name was Isom. They needed to ice this guy after his match because Ricky Starks beats him in like 10 seconds with the spear and the Rochambeau.
Or Mensa, was it? I don't know.
No, that's the other show.
Okay. Eli Isom.
Isom. Ice him up after that.
Keep up with these names.
Yeah. So Ricky Starks gets a quick win here. I wasn't sure why, but it's all right. Ricky Starks
is just continuing his momentum from last week. I would imagine. Do you think you'd get a third match with Hobbs?
I think so.
There, even though you've done the lights out, which is kind of.
I was almost expecting him to attack him here.
Yeah.
I guess we're letting it chill for a bit. We get a video for Jungle Boy and Christian. This feud is still happening, but Christian's injured, and they kind of now actually tell us that they've told us and they've hinted, but now they're like, look, Christian's definitely out. And then he mentions
the arm in the
face. Yeah. So he's like, he's got his right hand destroyed, but he's got his right hand destroyer, his Lucha Dragon Saurus thing. So that feud will continue, I guess. We then go to our main event. The Ring of Honor Championship is defended. The champion, Chris Jericho, the Ocho.
Ocho.
Do you know why he calls himself the Ocho?
Eight champions.
The eight champions. So he's calling himself the eight, Chris Jericho.
The eight. Cool.
Although he looks like in pretty good shape these days. Because if he was like looking what he looked like last year, people would be like, oh, the eight. Like, he looks like he ate Chris Jericho. Yeah. But the Ocho is like the ESPN Channel 8, which airs all the like the weird sports, like Dodgeball, the movie she talks about it in that movie and stuff. So like the real obscure stuff. So I think
Timber Sports, that kind of thing.
Really off, offbeat sports.
I like
there.
A bit of Timber Sports.
So I know Ocho is great. So I love the fact that he's using this new name every week. He's just trolling, and I love it. But Jericho is going one on one with a former Ring of Honor World Champion, Bandido, who we haven't really seen in quite a while, but he is quite awesome. They show clips to hype up this match of Bandido in the past, and now they're allowed to use All In clips. So they're showing clips of All In, which was pretty sweet. And this match starts with Bobby Cruz throwing the introduction. We got Ian Riccaboni on commentary, the legend.
No JR at all this week on Dynamite.
Yeah, maybe on Rampage, baby. The match starts, and because it's the ROH world title, there's the Code of Honor. And as Bandido goes to shake Jericho's hands, he goes for it, but then starts to do like a kid handshake, like the French tickler, and then flips him off. It's no Code of Honor. It's the Code of Jericho, as then he beats him up here. I thought this was a little thing that did so much.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. I like the whole presentation with Riccaboni and Bobby Cruz. I like that they're billing Bandido as the 34th Ring of Honor champion and Jericho as the 37th.
Right.
I think that fits quite well to what I think they're doing with Jericho, where he's going to run through all these Ring of Honor champions that they have available to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Code of Honor was great.
Well, Bandido finally gets the offense, sends Jericho to the outside, hits this huge, like, running Fosbury flop here, just nailing him. Fantastic. Then there's another huge crossbody off the top. In commercial, in picture-in-picture, he's also doing his classic one-handed gorilla press on Jericho, which, again, is very impressive. He then beats down on Jericho and goes for his stalling vertical suplex. And he was struggling, but he did it.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of Bandido's big spots where he holds the guy up for about a minute. Normally, a lot of wrestlers these days are quite small. So when I've seen him do it, he does it effortlessly. Wow. Yeah. Why is the word effortlessly really not effortless to say? I can't do it. But there's something to me more impressive seeing someone struggle. Like when we've seen Vinci, you know, that the throwing brainbuster when they almost drop and they slip. It's almost more impressive when you can muscle back up. And you saw Bandido struggling with this, and you saw Jericho tipping further and further forwards, where you go, oh, he's not going to be able to suplex him, and he did it, which to me I thought made it even more impressive. I did not think he was going to hit this on Jericho.
Yeah,
when they build this
match. I mean, us three, Dickie's watching with us, and we were watching this, and that's all three of us really got into the match at this point.
Yeah,
and so did the crowd. They got really loud for the spot. It does work.
If you've never seen Bandido before, it's this kind of thing. Like his high spots, which were going to be tough to do in Jericho, but they're the thing. If you're seeing him for the first time, it's what's going to make you a fan for sure.
He gets a near fall and then goes up top and hits an Eddie Guerrero-style frog splash for a near fall as well. They're then fighting off the top, and there's a Rana off the top. Jericho hits a lion salt, which Bandido, I think, saved him there by kind of rolling a little closer, but still looked good. There's then a crucifix bomb from Bandido, but it's a near fall. Jericho puts him in the walls, but eventually he gets to the ropes and escapes. They're fighting up top again, and we were talking. We know Bandido. We like Bandido. We're like, will he hit the stalling suplex? And will he hit the avalanche fallaway slam off the top? And boy, he did. Jericho falling off the top here with this huge... It's the moonsault one. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the moonsault one. This looked even crazier than that stalling suplex. 1, 2, Jericho kicks out. He keeps going... Bandido keeps going for his knee lift and eventually hits it. It's like the torture rack. It's almost like the go to
it's
hell.
Like a GTH, GTS kind of thing.
He hits this on Jericho and then the 21 plex, which is that like springboard into the German.
I love this setup because it's essentially the setup is very similar to the 619, where you're lying in the ropes. And the 619 looks hokey so much of the time. But doing it after this knee strike where Jericho just looks knocked out and falls into it, you completely buy it. I thought it looked great.
Well, Jericho kicks out of the 21 plex, which we've seen it's one of his finishers. So
Like the flip into the German.
Yeah, so he's a little shook here. And as Jericho is getting up, Jericho pulls Bandido's mask so that it covers his eyes and he can't see, which then he drops him and puts him into the lion tamer, this time a real lion tamer with the knee down and everything. And Bandido taps out.
I thought they did a nice like fake out tease right before, because after he blinded him, he went for the walls and got caught in an inside cradle.
Yeah.
And I thought this match did really well at making you buy, oh, maybe Bandido's
wins it back,
which would have made no sense because of the story you're building with Jericho. But it shows it's a good match if you're making me bite on those things.
Yeah.
And I thought that inside cradle was one of them. But yeah, the lion tamer, I thought they did a really good job on commentary on showing how Bandido has never tapped in ROH.
Whoa.
And the fact that he was blinded, he doesn't know if he's close to the ropes or not. So he didn't really have any other choice but to tap. Because if your eye's there, you can go, oh, just need to get another foot. I can hold it.
It should be noted that also Bandido's mask, which I think is definitely one of the best masks in wrestling. I'm wondering, I realized today that this guy wasn't signed to AEW. And I'm like, maybe we should do that. I know we were talking about stop signing people, but like this guy is awesome. His mask is so awesome, but it looked like his nose was broken underneath the mask because so much blood was gushing in that area.
There was nose or mouth or something.
Yeah. So the finish of this was really creative with obviously his nose is busted and bleeding, but then the mask covering your eyes to get put in that hold, I thought it was really good. And again, Jericho reminding us like the Fountain of Youth thing is real, because the first like 5 minutes of this match, I was like, ooh, maybe this isn't like, I wasn't super high on this show. But then I got really into this match, and again, Jericho delivered.
By far the best thing on this show, I thought really solid main event. I think Bandido, like, great kind of audition for him in a way.
Sure.
Like, I think people will want to see him again after this, and he's definitely someone I would consider bringing in, even though, as you said, the roster's huge. I thought it was really good. Continues this Jericho story. Solid main for a very lackluster show.
Yeah, after the match, Jericho grabs a microphone from Bobby Cruz, who he raises Bobby Cruz's hand, and Bobby Cruz is like, what the fuck are you doing? And Jericho delivers a vicious Judas effect to Bobby Cruz here, killing him. Jesus. Jericho says that he is the best Ring of Honor champion of all time, and he's going to hold this title forever. And he says that he is going to destroy every Ring of Honor champion in history that he can, any commentator, any announcer, and that's when he attacked Bobby Cruz, and announces that it's going to start on October 12th, Wednesday night in Toronto. He challenges Bryan Danielson for the Ring of Honor championship. So there we go. Main event set.
Rubber match.
Yeah, that's true. The third
one
here in AEW.
That's big main event. And actually, maybe we saw it coming because the poster for our event is Danielson.
You did put
Jericho.
Those two on our poster, yeah. I was saying way before, but when they did finally announce that they were coming, I said, you need to put Jericho in that main event and it'll sell. Obviously, Dynamite already sold out right away, but it's the second night that they're having issues with. Maybe you would have put that on that show. You already sold out that show. But regardless, I loved their last match 2 weeks ago. I actually liked Jericho versus Brian from 2 weeks ago more than Brian Mox last week.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. No, I think I did. Yeah. I think I did.
I was super high on this match, but I wasn't very high on this episode. But I
where do you see the... do you see Joe as like final boss for Jericho?
Okay, so Jericho's calling out Ring of Honor champions, right?
Yeah.
So let's think of all the possibilities of matches we could get here. Do we get Jericho versus Low Ki, the first ever Ring of Honor champion? Do we get Jericho versus Austin Aries? Do we get Jericho Homicide? Do we get Nigel McGuinness? Do we get Jerry Lynn? Tyler Black? Roderick Strong?
Well, you can certainly do an angle with Jerry Lynn, can't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't see a
match.
Nah,
fuck it. Jerry, get in shape right now. Let's go.
I could see an angle with Jerry Lynn. I could see Homicide, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't see Austin Aries. Low-key, you could flip a coin, maybe.
I don't know. What about
Nigel? No, obviously.
Jay Lethal, Jay Briscoe, Michael Elgin, Adam Cole. Could do all those matches.
Lethal, yes. You could do Briscoe at an ROH show, maybe. I don't know if you're...
Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, Cody Rhodes, Dalton Castle. Oh, we can't forget about the real best Ring of Honor champion of all time. Matt Taven.
Matt Taven, yeah.
That's a dream match. Book that for a Rampage.
Yeah. Sure. There's a bunch you can
Matt do. Matt Taven's waiting by the phone patiently after watching tonight's episode of Dynamite. There's Roosh. There's PCO.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll call Jonathan Gresham back, but...
Yeah. Yeah, maybe not.
That's a lot of potential big matchups.
So who do you see being... I'd say Joe is your maybe final...
The one you kind of go to after.
Yeah, and then it could be some sort of unification with the... Television title.
Yeah, I'm imagining the story ends up being Jericho versus Garcia at the pay-per-view, and it's title v. title unification.
Okay.
The pure versus that
does make most sense. Yeah.
And Garcia beats
him. So you've got, that's November, 19th, something like that. You've got under 2 months, so you can do, I guess you're going to maybe do these weekly. But is there a ROH show?
Not right now. Well, Jericho as world champion means Ring of Honor is getting a TV deal, right? That's got to be
the
reason.
The idea, I would think.
I do think Full Gear Garcia versus Jericho is the match, and I would say it's title v title unification for the pure and the world Ring of Honor titles to kind of put those together there because there's too many titles, and those could definitely do it. And Garcia being Jericho. For that title makes it something cool, something special. But before that, there's a run.
I just wonder, I know they normally do, what is it, Final Battle in December?
Yeah.
It's whether
I'm
sure you'd want Jericho as your champion at the next ROH pay-per-view, I would think. So whether you do the switch in November before then.
But I'm intrigued by that. Again, I probably get some of these... pure ROH purists getting so butthurt, but it's so funny to me that
I don't think many exist anymore.
I don't think Ring of Honor fans definitely dwindled in a long time. All those stars are in these companies. Yeah. So yeah. I did not like this episode of Dynamite. I thought it was probably on the weaker ends when it comes to this show. I still enjoy watching it, but the main event really saved it for me or else I would have been in more of a crummy mood. But Jericho and Bandido delivered. We know we're going to MJF Yuta, which I think would have been a hotter match on this show. But next week in DC, we're getting that match. So
the anniversary, third anniversary.
Third anniversary of Dynamite?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
So, that could be pretty good. What else do we have on that show? Is Juice Robinson going to wrestle?
Jericho and Garcia against Danielson and... Sorry, Jericho and Sammy versus Danielson and Garcia.
Yeah.
Lethal versus Darby?
We're getting Lethal versus Darby, Luchasaurus in action, and tomorrow on Rampage, it's Lee Moriarty versus Fuego, Nightingale versus Hayter, Private Party versus Acclaimed versus Butcher Blade, and Silver versus Roosh, that sounds pretty good. But
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That was Dynamite. Not my favorite one, but next week will be better.
Yeah.
I have faith.
Let's hope.
AEW is not in the mud. Don't say that. Stop it. Thanks for listening, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week. We do have tons of other podcasts on our Patreon. patreon.com/upnext. $5 to access hundreds of podcasts, retro pay-per-view reviews, NXT reviews, all the whole thing up on there. And check out Up Next. We'll be back next Tuesday night after NXT, possibly the new era of NXT, the NXT not 2.0.
NXT Gold.
NXT 3.0, yeah. Essentially now. So look for that. And then we'll be back Wednesday night chatting all about Dynamite as well. So at Up Next Podcast on Twitter, if you haven't followed already, and the Facebook page / Facebook group. And I myself, Brayden Harrington, you can find me on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And your name rhymes with shit.
Ahoy!